You and then I'll explain the answer a little later on in the show. So in the Betway Premiership season, in an imaginary Betway Premiership season, 16 teams compete against each other and they play however many matches they play. Every team plays home and away against every other team. If you add up the points at the end of the season, all 16 teams combined have a points tally that adds up to 600, exactly 600. My question is, how many matches are drawn in the season? So how many draws do we have? Obviously, the matches that are not drawn, the other matches will have winners and losers. But in terms of the drawn matches, how many drawn matches are there? Many of you are working out the calculation correctly. Many of you are way off. I will give you the answer and explain to you how it works a little later on in the show. Now, let's talk to our versatile correspondent. Normally, we talk to him about cricket. Tonight, we're going to unpack all the issues surrounding international soccer and especially what's going on in terms of England. So I suppose we should say international football. Kevin Radamel, always a delight to have you on the show. Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, Michael. And first of all, I just want to say congratulations to your partner in crime there, Len, and he's a brilliant victory in the Premier League. Unbelievable. I'm happy for him. 22 years wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Last night he was here with his Arsenal scarf. Tonight he's taken off his Arsenal scarf, but he probably went to sleep with it last night, as did my wife, also a big Arsenal supporter, and many others. So I'm surrounded by Arsenal people all over the place. Just on that, Kevin, let's start there. In terms of Arsenal's win, what did you make of their whole season and just the way they were able to pull it off when it looked as if they might just be throwing it away at the deck?
Yes, it did come down to the second last game, I guess. A lot of people I see on social media is killing them, coming to say that they were given a lot of fortunate decisions. However, at the end of the day, look, they pulled it through. They were struggling there for a little bit. It looked like Man City was going to catch them. And then Man City, I think, also just got tired now. They played too many games in their last game this week, and when it was a Tuesday, they just didn't look like the normal team. And Arsenal just outwitted them and outplayed them. They played the survivor game and they won and they truly deserve it. And I'm glad for all their fans because their fans have been waiting for a very long time.
Staying with matters in England, Aston Villa last night, very, very impressive against Freiburg, winning by 3-0 and securing a place next season in the Champions League, winning the Europa League final. And I'm pleased to see that my boy, Emi Buendia, who played for Norwich for a couple of seasons, he's probably, I think, the best player ever to have played for Norwich. So he's back in form. Villa put him out on loan early on in his career when he moved to them, and he came back and he proved his worth with a stunning goal in that 3-0 win.
He did, and at a very crucial time as well, just before halftime. It was pretty close up until about the 40th minute, until Tielemans scored in the 41st minute. And then, like you say, that goal just before halftime almost wrapped it up. And then the third one in the 58th minute just sealed the game with 30 minutes to go. But what a brilliant, brilliant result for Aston Villa. That ends a 30-year trophy drought for them, not to mention 44 years last that they won a trophy in Europe. So unbelievable. Emery has done a brilliant job there.
They are, of course, going into their final league match against Man City this weekend, and they'll be on a high from that and probably celebrate. They won't really care about the results. City will be very deflated given what's happened to them in the league. So how do you see that match playing out?
I don't think either, like you say, either team will care too much. I'm sure that Manchester City probably will have more to play for. It looks like Pep Guardiola is probably going to be on his way out. Aston Villa will probably still be drunk. I think the more important games will be right at the bottom of the table there. Will West Ham go down or will Tottenham go down?
Oh, that was going to be my next question. I'm sort of working my way down the table, if you'll pardon the expression. Tottenham need 1 point. That's all they need against Everton. And 1 point will be enough because their goal difference is vastly better than West Ham. But West Ham are themselves in a position to potentially secure a win against Leeds, and they will be going all out for that. And if they can get that right and Tottenham do slip up against Everton, Spurs will be playing Championship football next season.
How incredible it is that one of those teams with their mega stadiums, both are incredible stadiums. West Ham is obviously using the old Olympic Stadium, which hosts about 70,000 people. And that could be hosting championship football next year. Your team could be there.
Yeah.
And all these teams that are normally playing in front of 10,000, 15,000 people could be playing either at West Ham or even strangely enough, at Tottenham Stadium, which is even better and obviously brand new. So that's going to be exciting, and anything is possible on the last day. I realize that supporting my team when it's the last two seasons have gone down to the last day, and absolutely anything is possible, and it's going to be so exciting.
And next season, of course, as far as the championship is concerned, the top two promoted automatically, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 all go into playoffs. So you really have to be pretty bad not to make the playoffs next season.
True, but it's also going to be a super competitive league. And I've always said it's probably one of the most competitive leagues in the world. There are such amazing teams there. Teams that are competitive and that can win on the day. And now we're adding these super forces that are coming down from the Premier League. So yes, eight are in contention, but you could probably count 16 or 18 that can actually fill those spots. So it's going to be super competitive. And yeah, I can't actually wait for the next season to start already.
I wish your team was there in amongst them, but hopefully the season thereafter you will be up and promoted as champions next season in League One. We'll see how that plays out. Kevin, let's talk about the big story doing the rounds in the championship, the Spygate saga. Southampton appealing their decision, that appeal getting thrown out. It's Middlesbrough against Hull as things stand at the moment. Neither side has had the ideal preparation for Saturday's biggest match in football. Just talk me through the whole situation as you see it.
Just to remind your listeners, if they haven't been updated on it, it's massive in the UK. It's a real storm over there. If your listeners also don't know this, and like I said a couple of seasons ago, I had my heart in this game as we won and we got our place in the Premier League, is this game is the biggest game in the world in terms of money. If you win this match, you get promoted to the Premier League, and that comes with about £250 million worth of money in terms of TV rights, sponsors, that kind of stuff. So it is the richest game in the world. If your listeners don't know, what happened is Middlesbrough and Southampton were playing in the semi-final. 2 days before, on the 7th of May, while Borough were practicing, they saw someone basically in the bushes with a cell phone. They tried to follow this person. This person went through the golf course, escaped from them, but they took photos of it, cross-referenced it with the website of Southampton, and saw that he was actually an analyst intern. Complained to the EFL, and they started investigating. They pled guilty to the charges on Tuesday. Other charges were also added. They were found out to be spying on Oxford, as in Ipswich as well, during the season. And they got a phenomenal sanction. That was being kicked out of the playoff final and being inducted 4 points next year in the championship as well. So that's never been heard of.
And they appealed that, obviously. They said that the penalty was unjust for the incidents, because there have been incidents in the past. Leeds under Bielsa a number of years ago, they were spying on Derby ahead of their playoff matches, and it's happened before to numerous teams. Southampton feel the penalty was harsh. That appeal got thrown out. So it looks as if Southampton are going to, as you say, start with -4 next season. But what is the impact now, just from a legal point of view, on teams that just missed out on the playoffs? Teams like Wrexham, for example, who were in the mix until pretty much the final day, and at one stage were in those playoffs until final day results went against them. Have these teams potentially got a case to be able to say, hang on a second, if Southampton had been thrown out earlier in the playoffs, we could well have been there. We could have been playing in the richest game in football.
Look, I don't think they're going to have a legal claim. At the end of the day, how far do you go back? As I said earlier, they also spied against Oxford. Oxford are now relegated. Mm. Ironically enough, Oxford won that match against them. So how far back do you go? It is a very difficult decision to make what to do with Southampton at this point. I do know that Hull yesterday were talking about going to court and trying to not play in the final. They don't believe they should play against Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough already lost, and they want a promotion straight to the Premier League. That's not going to happen. The final has already been set for Saturday at 4:30 our time. There's too much money to be made for that game not to go on. And they also couldn't delay it, because Wembley has been booked out for the next couple of weekends, for the next month. It's summer season in England. So this game has to continue. There's too much money to lose. I don't believe we'll see any other legal claim being victorious. And that's going to set up once again an unbelievable game on Saturday afternoon to see who goes through to the Premier League.
Absolutely. But the preparation for both sides, I mean, Middlesbrough would have been expecting to be going on holiday. I know their coaching staff have kept them busy, but it's not the ideal preparation going into a match which you think you're not going to be playing, and then all of a sudden you find out you are going to be playing. And for Hull as well, they would have been initially preparing to play against Southampton. They would have studied their videos, looked at their strengths and weaknesses. Now all of a sudden that gets thrown out the window and they've got to look at a completely different opponent. So I suppose very disruptive for both teams.
Very disruptive, and that was one of Hull's biggest complaints, is once they had secured their place for this semi-final, they started preparing for Southampton. They only found out on Tuesday evening that it wasn't going to be Southampton. Once again, they still had to wait for the appeal. Wednesday, yesterday, the players from Hull were given the day off already, pre-planned, so that they can be ready for the final. So they've had today, which has been some uncertainty, and tomorrow, and then they have to play the biggest game in their lives against a team, Middlesbrough, who probably at this point have got nothing to lose. It's a free hit. They have been practicing anyway. None of the players went after they were knocked out in the semi-finals. So they've been practicing. And at that point, knowing who their opposition would be, which was Hull, because Hull qualified first.
Kevin, let me just quickly, while I've got you on the line, talk to you about a cricket matter that has been raising its head all over social media. Local fans very dejected by the decision that CSA put out the other day to announce that tickets for the Newlands Test against England early in the new year, 3rd to 7th of January, have been sold out. I see now that has been amended, the wording, to say the first batch of tickets has been sold out. Just give us your take on the situation. I know you're very, very much on top of these things and you have a lot more knowledge than I do in terms of the matter. So maybe just clarify for our listeners.
Yeah, once again, social media has been alight with those people trying to kick Cricket South Africa while they're down, and look, Cricket South Africa don't have always a positive image. But I think there's two sides to the story, and you're correct, Michael. There's Cricket South Africa put out an advert and promotion to tell everyone, hey, the cricket tickets will be available for Protea season. Everyone tried to log in. Most of the places around the country were fine, but the Cape Town Test, the New Year's Test, which is probably the premier cricket match of the year, people logged in and within 30 seconds it just showed sold out. People started doing inquiries, and then it was found out that very few, a very limited amount of tickets are going to be made to the general public. If the figures are right of other journalists, it looks like only 13% will be released to the general public, as in general admission tickets, 40% to travel packages, and then 21% to hospitality. So people are complaining, saying cricket should be available to everyone, not just the rich. And it looks like at this point that will be very limited. However, there's always two sides to it.
All right. So I suppose it's what you're saying is watch the space and let's chat about it once more knowledge becomes available.
Well, look, they just released, Cricket South Africa just released a statement a couple of hours ago. They did say, hey, they first of all, they need to see the pitch allocation to see exactly which seats they can allocate to general public. They did say there will be more coming out soon. They'll let people know. These tickets for the Cape Town match will be between 420 and 500 rand a ticket, which is quite expensive, but once again, it's a premium match. And Michael, I think the important thing to say as well is that the people that have been watching the domestic cricket, the regulars, will secure their tickets. 2% of these tickets will go to people with season tickets. So the people who really have been going to all the domestic games, who have been supporting Western Province cricket, who have been supporting Cricket South Africa, they'll pretty much secure their tickets. Cricket South Africa also don't have many matches. As we know, there hasn't been any test matches in the year. When the big matches come, including England, where we have a lot of people coming from England, the Barmy Army and all of that, they bring their pounds. They do need to make it rain while they can. So there are two sides. It is still a corporate entity. It's still a business. And hopefully that all the South Africans who do want to watch test matches, be it at Centurion Park, be it at Wanderers, be it at Cape Town, will get the chance to watch our heroes play.
Always lovely to chat to you on the show, Kevin Rademacher. Thank you so much for your time and look forward to our next chat sometime soon, perhaps.
Excellent. No, thank you very much. And what a great weekend it's going to be of sport, rugby, soccer, all the playoff championship and the League One. So what a wonderful weekend it's going to be.
Absolutely so. Thank you, my friend. Always great to chat to you.